turn this evening to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, reading the first 8 verses. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. May God bless to us that portion of Holy Scripture this evening. Last week we were looking first at the birth of Ishmael in the latter part of chapter 16. We learnt of the character of this man and of the nation which should issue from him, the Arabs. Then for the major part of the sermon, our thoughts were centered upon the last verse of chapter 16 and the first verse of chapter 17, 13 years of silence. From this we learnt very solemn yet valuable lessons. I'm not going into the detail of the remainder of Genesis chapter 17. You will notice we've jumped from the first verse right into chapter 18. The reason for this is that this chapter, chapter 17, coincides with that which is before us on Sunday mornings, the Abrahamic covenant. Therefore, it would be repetition. But what I must point out before we move on to chapter 18 is this. For it is complementary to our Sunday morning series. And that is, although God had promised Hagar that her child, begotten by Abram, was to become the father of a great nation, which he did in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 10, the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And Abraham was still setting great store upon this, despite all we learnt last Sunday evening. Abram was still setting great store by that promise. Look at verse 18 of chapter 17 for a moment. And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. His hopes, despite all we saw last Sunday, his hopes were still centered in this child of the bondwoman. Abram said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael was duly circumcised at the age of 13 years. We learn that from verse 25 of chapter 17. Yes, Ishmael received the seal. What is more, God confirmed to Abraham that original promise which he made to Hagar in verse 20 of chapter 17. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But, look at verse 19. God said, Sarah, thy wife, not the bondwoman, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. This ties in with what we were looking at this morning. There is no prefiguring of the covenant of grace with Ishmael, for he was a reprobate. His was but the promise of an earthly blessing. The everlasting covenant, the electing purposes of God through his grace, was to come through Isaac. He was the child of promise through whom would come the true seed. I have said all this before. We move now into chapter 18. But I have just repeated this in order to emphasize yet again the necessity of keeping the material aspect of these things separate from the spiritual. I might say, too, just at this point, that circumcision, that seal, did not bring Ishmael into the election of grace. This, too, has a bearing on what will be before us on Sunday mornings before long. Circumcision did not bring this lad into the blessings of that covenant or into the election of grace. Now let us proceed. Chapter 18 and verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that is Abram, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now it is necessary to underline and to grasp the import of this first statement before we move into the next verse, or we could well be muddled again. It is the Lord who is appearing to Abraham yet again. The Lord appeared unto him. So having established that and registered this fact, we move on to verse 2, where we learn the nature and the mode of this appearing. And Abram lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Three men appeared along the road, or track as the case might be, quite naturally. Three ordinary men to all intents and purposes. Quite naturally, they came along the desert track and they approached towards Abram's tent. It was in the heat of the day. The Bible is clear to point out these things which may appear small and insignificant, but they all have a bearing. There is never an idle word spoken in Holy Scripture. It was in the heat of the day, and three men approached Abraham's camp. And polite and courteous gentleman that the patriarch was, he goes out and speaks to them, bowing himself toward the ground. In other words, displaying the chivalry and the good manners which would mark a man of integrity of that day and age and of that area. Just a display of good manners, courtesy, chivalry, I say, which would mark a man of integrity. Now, in passing, I make application here. All these things are written aforetime for our learning. As the Lord's people, this should mark us all. Now, casual, ill-mannered, disrespectful people abound today. This spirit and this trend should never be found in the church. It's one of the greatest tragedies of the church today that the spirit of the world has invaded. In so many ways. And this is one of them. I say a casual, ill-mannered, disrespectful spirit. It should never invade the church. But alas, in so many instances, it has. The Christian should ever be marked by courtesy, by good manners. And we should ever be polite and respectful, the one of the other. But there is more. Abram was generous, and he was hospitable. Look at verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now look at the understanding and the kind consideration in all this. It was not just offering these passers-by a drink and a biscuit. Now that would have been something, and much better than nothing. But no. The scripture goes into detail. The scripture says it was the heat of the day. The heat of the day, remember. And Abram showed great understanding. He entered into their position. Come, he says, come. You rest here under my trees. You're welcome to make use of our pleasant camp. I'll fetch water so that you may wash your feet. This was a means of great refreshment for one traveling over the hot desert sand. To be able to put their feet in water and to bathe them, a means of great refreshment. And these three men greatly appreciated this kindness. So do, said they. So do. And looking up this in order to find the English equivalent, I find that in our language it would just mean, thank you very much. You see, the Bible is so down to earth. Its language and that which it endeavors to communicate to us is so meaningful. I'll go and fetch water, says Abram. You sit here under our trees. Make yourself at home in our camp. Oh, thank you very much, they say. And whilst they sat under the tree and bathed their feet, Abram has a word with Sarah, his wife, and one of his young men. And in due course, a delicious meal was served under that tree in Abraham's campsite. Even the menu is given to us in the Word of God. It was fresh, tender veal, cakes and butter, and milk. Oh, how interesting, we say. How interesting. Yes, but why? Why does the Holy Spirit of God take 8 verses of Holy Scripture to go into such detail on what is on the surface but a homely and insignificant matter? What is it? The Spirit of God takes 8 verses to give us this. Surely we might say the whole object of this chapter commences in verse 9. Why do we not go from our first sentence right into verse 9? Then the scripture would read, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? What is the point of this domestic digression? Well, is it included by the Holy Spirit of God to just hold our attention or to just make the Bible a little more interesting? Indeed not. Here is a domestic matter, I repeat, a domestic matter brought into God's sacred truth for our instruction. I repeat again, the things which are written aforetime are for our learning. And the best commentary to consult to explain this portion of Holy Scripture is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. And there we have a direct reference to this, and here we have the application to us today. This is why the Spirit of God has brought in this little domestic scene. It's written for our learning, and this applies to us. And here we get the commentary. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Who's that written to? Us. It's written to us. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Who did? Abram. He entertained angels unawares. Now says the Spirit of God to people of the New Testament day, don't you be forgetful. This is written for your learning. Now don't forget that. That's why 8 verses are given in the Old Testament. Do we heed the teaching of the Word of God? Do we act upon it? Then we go on to verse 16 of that same chapter in Hebrews. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't forget the example which is given to you in Genesis chapter 18. To do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This was a thing which was registered in heaven. It was well pleasing to God. God saw fit by his Holy Spirit to call attention to it in this day and age and to record it for his New Testament church. To do good. kindness, being thoughtful, entering into the needs and into the situation of others, doing good, communicating in the needs of others, linking up in their need, communicating in sickness, in loneliness, being hospitable, allowing others to have the use of that which God has given to us as need arises. These scriptures are not just for one or two in the church. This section of Holy Scripture in the Hebrew Epistle is not written to pastors, to elders, to deacons. No, it's for all the people of God. Do good, communicate, forget not to entertain strangers. It's written to the church. And Abram was not aware of the fact when he first spoke to these three that they were angels. To him, they were just casual travelers on a journey. He wasn't aware that they were angels. Who are angels? Heavenly messengers. That's who they were. But he didn't know it. Not only were they heavenly messengers, not only were they angels, but one of them was not even a created spirit being. Not a created spirit being. For one was none other than the angel of the covenant himself, the Lord Jehovah. I say, beloved, what a terrible thing it would have been had Abraham been selfishly indifferent. If he had said, we can't be bothered with visitors today. There isn't anything prepared in any case. What's more, Sarah is tired. She's had enough for one day. If this had been their attitude, what would they have felt when the identity of these three men was known? These verses in the first section of Genesis chapter 18 are here to give us some very practical instruction on these everyday domestic matters, ever bearing in mind our Lord's words. For it will never be our privilege to entertain in our home three angels, let alone one of them being the angel of the covenant. But in these things, ever bear in mind our Lord's words, as spoken in Matthew 25 and verse 40. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And that's the spirit in which good is to be communicated and hospitality given. It's done as unto him. And the neglect of these things is the neglect of this injunction, for which the people of God will suffer. For God has not blessed us, you know, simply for our own comfort. Let none of us make any mistake on this. But now, for a few moments, to look into a little more of the detail of this narrative. We have not to look far into this incident before we discover that one of the three stands out. One commands greater respect and reverence even than the other two. And none of them were ordinary beings. But there is one of the three who stands supreme. And it was to him that Abram addressed his invitation. Going out to meet them, he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And as this interview progressed, the high rank of this person becomes more manifest, for he conducts the conversation. And in verses 10 and 14, promises were made which could only truthfully be made by one, and which only one could fulfill, and that was God himself. Indeed, verse 13 leaves us in no doubt. And the Lord said unto Abraham, it was the Lord Jehovah himself. We shall later see, as we move through this chapter and then on into chapter 19, that one of these three who appeared as a man was the Lord himself, and the other two were messengers, angels. Angels or messengers of God on a specific mission. This was no casual journey that they were taking. They were on a specific mission. Two of them, we shall learn, go on to Sodom. Verse 22 of our chapter tells us, the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 19, there came two angels to Sodom at even, the same two. And whilst the two angelic ministers go into Sodom, Abraham stands face to face and speaks to the Lord Jehovah as a man speaketh to his friend. This we shall be looking at in greater detail next week, God willing. Some may be perhaps bewildered. Why in this passage this mighty one of the three, who was none other than the second person of the Trinity, should be set forth as man, as angel, and as the Lord, for such it is here. Set forth as man, as angel, and as the Lord. Well, remember the setting. Remember the backcloth to all this. Abram, the man who believed God, had hearkened unto the voice of his wife, and he had resorted to human reasoning and to fleshly scheming in the outworking of a divine plan. That's the backcloth. And further revelation, further assurance is needed for the patriarch. And so as Jehovah, the Lord, he speaks in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Your sights are set upon the child of a bondwoman? Was that my promise? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Thus he appears to the patriarch as the Lord Jehovah, the voice of an almighty, immutable God. Angels. As we know, angels are ministers of God, messengers to carry and to convey divine decrees. And here God not only had a message to get over to Abram and Sarah personally, but he wanted to convey a further message and to confide in this man. More of that we shall see next time, God willing. But he had a message to convey. He wanted to take Abram into his confidence. That covers the angel aspect. But why must he also be presented here as man? Friends, I believe that this is all a part of the unfolding of truth. There are a number of occasions in the Old Testament where the Lord appears as an angel, a number of occasions. Such an appearance is known as a theophany. And on occasions, when the Lord has appeared as an angel, I say on occasions, food has been provided. It was so with Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21. Again, in the case of Manoah, in the book of Judges, chapter 13, verses 15 to 21. The angel of the Lord, it was Jehovah himself, appearing as an angel. And food was provided for this visitor. But in these instances, never did the Lord partake. Rather did he turn such into an offering by consuming it with fire, turning it into an offering. Never did he partake. But here, no. As man, the second person of the Trinity sat under a tree. He condescended to be Abram's guest, to accept hospitality at his hand. And they sat and talked together as man to man. And, states verse 8, they did eat. This is the only instance of such a happening prior to the incarnation. Never do we read of such a thing as this until the second person of the Trinity, God himself, was manifest in flesh. But here, manifested as man, he did eat. I say the only instance of such a happening before the incarnation. I call to mind that incident in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Two unbelieving disciples conversing with a stranger on the Emmaus Road, then an evening meal with them. This wasn't the Lord's table. An evening meal with them. He went into their house. And, states the Spirit of God, he was known unto them, two unbelieving men, or man and woman it could have been, two unbelieving ones at least. The resurrected Christ sat at meat with them. And in that man-to-man approach over a meal, he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This was remarkable, inasmuch as this was Christ in his resurrection body. His earthly life was finished. He had no need of food. He had no need of these things, but he could partake of them. And he did. He condescended to eat with them. I say food was not necessary to him. But by this natural and homely contact, he got through, as it were. And he manifested himself to them. And I believe that the Lord, being manifested in such human guise as is set out here in Genesis chapter 18, was but a faint portrayal of his mediatorial office. It was being foreshadowed that this glorious person one day would become incarnate. And here appearing unto Abram, the father of all that who should believe, the one whom we were considering this morning who had the gospel preached to him, how that Christ was made a curse, the very essence of the gospel. And here he is as man, sitting and eating with the father of all them who should believe. A further portrayal, a further unveiling of Christ in his mediatorial office, the God-man, the messenger of the covenant, the one who would outwork God's purposes of grace. Our time is gone. Here is a convenient point to break off. And here I stop. The God-man appearing to Abraham, eating with him, appearing as the Lord Jehovah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Appearing as an angel, a message to be got over to Abram. Appearing as a man, speaking face to face. May God bless his word to us. Amen. Hymn number 125. Now, I'm quite sure that this is the first time that this hymn has ever been sung in this place. It's a tune we must learn. Some of us may know it. Again, I'll ask our organist to play the verse through slowly that we might get accustomed to the tune, and then we'll move into it steadily. 125. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live. Upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. Wonderful words are contained in these four verses, and it's set to a glorious tune. Let us sing it to the glory of God. Richly will supply.
beauty's trace, His majesty adore. Live near His heart, upon His bosom lean. Obey His voice and all His will esteem.
Heavenly Father, with such volumes of truth as this, filling our hearts and flooding our souls, we just bow before Thee in adoration and in worship. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.